I'm really pleased that we got six folks. They're all seniors, with the exception of Mr. Cook. Well, he's a senior of another type, but we have seniors from Propel Braddock Hills High School with us today, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves to you, and if there's a shout out or hello that you might want to say to anybody who's listening now or later to the podcast version of this, feel free to do that now if you'd like, or just take a pass too. That's fine. And we'll just go from right to left so everybody can know who's here.
Well, my name's Robert. Like the shout out family.
My name is Cece. No shout outs.
It's Mr. Cook. I want to give a shout out to my son, Amir. He's here with me in the studio.
My name is Mara Kane, and shout out to the action team.
The whole action team?
Hey, my name is Marcel. I'd like to shout out to my mom, my dad, everybody that's listening.
It's Miss Lowe. Shout out to Braddock Hills High School and all my action team here.
Thank you, and I'm so glad that you're all here today. Let's talk a little bit. The action team, you guys are all seniors, and then we have Ms. Lowe and Mr. Cook. You're about to graduate, but you're also you've had a great year of the action team, and you're going to be passing it on so that it continues. I'm curious what some of the things you've been working on this year are. You've still got another year to go. What are some of the issues you're tackling? Anybody, just feel free to jump in.
Okay, so what we've been working on is like our ultimate goal that we're trying to get it to, like, I guess you would say the angle of like what to make it, and we're trying to reach it out into the community, like not just make it an after school thing. We're trying to make it to like the entire like age group, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So instead of just being a closed thing just for seniors in the high school, you want to be sure that any member of the school community can be involved, but plus the community,
yeah,
whether it's Propel or not.
Right, like not even just like the school community. Like, I mean, I guess you would say we kind of have to start there, or maybe we don't. I don't know. We're still kind of figuring that out, but we're trying to make it like the community, as in like all like people like our age, like coming up. Like we're trying to reach it out into that.
Why do you think it's important to do that?
I think it's important so people can feel like they have a voice and they can feel like comfortable with where they're at.
It's a good observation. I think everybody needs to feel like they're heard. Plus, school is kind of an artificial boundary, right? The minute you leave the school, especially with a charter school with students coming from all over, the community you're in really matters a lot.
Yeah.
Are there, like, issues that you want to try to address or focus on? There's so much you guys have the power to do as a group, and there's a lot of issues to choose from. Is anything, like, Robert, is there something that you hope the group might address or at least think about this year?
Well, there were a couple of issues that we actually started to talk about during our meeting the other day on Tuesday. We actually started talking about the achievement gap within schools, and also just safety as a whole, especially with what happened earlier last week.
Can you talk about that?
I wasn't really there. I just know that there was an incident at Andrew Street, which so happened to be a shooting after a basketball game.
It's important to talk about the thank you. It's important to talk about these things. That's got to be really frightening.
Yeah.
People get numb to it, and if you are used to reading newspaper accounts and things, you know, there was just a shooting in Homewood a couple weeks ago, and some students we work with knew that student quite well. He had attended Obama and Alderdice Jonathan Freeman, his name. And it's horrible to think that you are not in a safe environment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's learning, living, just about everything that's joyful in life can't be done if you don't feel like you're safe. What are some ways you think you can improve safety? Anybody, feel free to jump in.
That's a big step. I don't really know. It's kind of hard because we could say get more security or bring in people that specialize in things like that. But then again, it's like we're targets or like people carrying around guns and things like that. And it's like, what is the point?
Yeah, like figuring out the root cause of what makes people angry or violent probably is a big part of it too, I think.
I know, like, at Andrew Street, unfortunately, we did have a community act of violence that took place in the area where our school is located following a basketball game. And, you know, it was challenging for our community, our school community, for teachers and students. Some students were, you know, definitely shaken up. No one was injured, which is a blessing. But, you know, community violence does affect so many of our students. It's constant thought that they have, that they deal with, you know, on their commute, on their ride home, or their, you know, their commute home, taking the PAP bus, and it's just a reality. Like, even the shooting that, you know, the young man that lost his life, rest in peace and blessings to him and his family, that affected students in our community all the way in Homestead. So we're all integrally connected, and, you know, at Andrew Street, one of the things that we did to bring everybody together, and shout out to the whole Andrew Street community. We had a peace rally at our school, a unity rally, and we brought everybody together, and we had some motivational speakers. Leon Ford came out, Devontae Butler, amazing motivational speaker came out, and just really emphasized the importance of creating a safe space and bringing us all together, like the purpose of our education and rising above adversity and just staying focused on our goals. But we definitely have serious issues to address as a community. And, you know, what are the root causes? You know, we're dealing with poverty. You know, we're dealing with community issues and violence and lack of opportunities. So it's going to be an ongoing process. And then it's also, we deal with being socialized to see ourselves in a certain light and being socialized to think that violence is part of the answer when it's not. So the action team is really critical. The work that these students are doing, creating safe spaces for leadership.
And we should point out, you know, that incident we're talking about affected, you know, the community around the school. If anything happening around the school is going to affect the school. And some schools and some listeners might have in mind a school that's sort of an isolated bubble, you know, out on a tract of land somewhere. But if you go to a school that's within a city or, you know, near city community, it's the whole community. It's everything around you, the stores, the shops, the streets, and all the people, students and otherwise, that are nearby. So are you hoping to, I mean, there's a lot of positive things that you already have to work with, too. There's a trying to address violence is one thing. But are there some other things you want to try to grow and make happen more, some of the positive things that already are taking place that you hope will blossom?
So we talked a lot about mentorship, mentor opportunities, a lot of these students here are going to have, they're going to have the opportunity to mentor younger students so that they could see that, keep that growing and flourishing. And then the younger students are going to take part in that, and they're going to want to do the same things. So we could set a positive example and become role models for what we want our schools to look like, what we want our communities to look like. We want to make sure that we're not just in a community. We want to be a positive part of the community, not just exist. We want to create the community we want to live in.
Who has a mentor already? Is anybody working with somebody?
There's a couple kids at my school that actually, like, I had started kind of like a mentoring group, and it didn't really take off the way I expected it to, but from the little things that we did do, I had a few people, like, stick with me, I guess, and that still like to talk to me.
Yeah, you were really passionate about getting a mentoring program going. I remember we talked about that before, Mara. So you probably learned some things that really were effective in getting those relationships going.
Yeah, actually, I was kind of surprised that people still talk to me, because like, I didn't think that they would, because I had only spoken with them maybe 3 times, but like, they still, like, you know, so that was surprising.
What kind of things do you think contributed to them wanting to keep in touch with you?
I honestly don't know. Maybe that I'm honest?
Yeah. I don't know. No, I think you're right. You know, just being honest and direct. And that's what you would look for. I mean, what would you guys look for in a mentor if you already, I hope, have some, but that's right. The kind of mentor you'd want to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I for sure want them to be honest. I want to be able to trust them, and I would want them to be, like, supportive. Like, you don't want to talk to someone that you feel like tears you down or anything. I also, with the people that I do talk to me, I try to make them feel, like, comfortable with themselves. Like how we said that problems we were trying to address was, like, the achievement gap and, like, safety. Another thing also I'm very interested in is identity. Because I feel like that causes a lot of problems, is people not really knowing where you would say that they fit in, or they're not really understanding, like, their environment. So I think that's a big thing. There's a thing that's called, like, stereotype threat. I think that's what it's called. And it's when people, like, fall accustomed to their stereotypes or their environment, and they react with that instead of prospering, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I feel like I'm not making sense, but I'm trying to.
No, you're making perfect sense.
So I feel like identity is a really big thing for people. Like, if you're set and you're comfortable with who you are and everything, like, that just gives you all the more reasons to be better.
Yeah, and what I find in a mentor, someone that I can relate to. Like, you can always find a mentor. But it's always better to find somebody that you connect with, like somebody that has been through similar things that you've been through. It helps talk to them better. You always talk to people that you can relate more with better.
Yeah, you're going to be willing to open up more and share more. I want to be sure I don't cut anybody off as we're talking, and everybody has a chance to say something as I'm looking around. Robert, you looked like you were about to say something before.
What I would like to find in a mentor is a role model. That's actually what I kind of like to find with any, like, you know, adult that's or a teacher that's in my school. I have a lot of people who I look up to as role models, such as, like, my principal and things of that nature. And they also kind of, like, help me through with a lot of things. So just a role model who can, once again, like what Marcel said, like, relate to me and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that talking about the stereotype issue, that we usually think of stereotypes being the way we judge other people and the boxes we put them in. But if you're not careful, you can put yourself in that box.
Most definitely.
That's what people do, is that they put themselves in that box. It's like they think they're supposed to be in that. They put themselves in that box and they limit themselves, and it just allows other people to continue that on them.
And it's like they begin to it, within that they actually kind of like become followers in some instance of where they kind of like just follow people who don't lead them into the right track. They don't really have a good role model in their lives. So it's so much of so they're like kind of like just falling down the wrong path of where they're not supposed to go. It's instead of like, you know, trying to like, you know, choose their own path and make their own future, they're kind of just like falling in line.
It's a great way to phrase it. Cece, do you have any thoughts about role models or about these stereotype issues?
I think a role model should be someone that you can come to, that you can trust, someone that you aren't afraid to let out your personal issues to. Just like they said, someone you can relate to, because I wouldn't want to be with a mentor and like they don't understand where I'm coming from on certain situations.
Now, all of you are going to be mentoring younger students, and you should be great at it because you've got a lot of empathy. You've been through some of the issues that you're going to be coming through. And none of you have been assigned people yet, right? Or do you have specific students? But you must be thinking about what you would want. I mean, you want to be there for them and their particular issues, but are there some like words of wisdom or experiences that you already maybe want to share with them because you wish somebody had told you that, or you know, something you've learned given your age? You know what I mean? It's like you're seniors. You've already figured a lot out that younger kids haven't. Are there things you've figured out that you would want to share with them?
Well, one thing that I've actually learned through like high school and even before high school is like kind of just don't get yourself trapped in with the wrong group. So that's just anyone who, you know, and even then I feel like you should just surround yourself with positive people and who has a positive outlook on your life and could affect you positively. And could actually help you become more well-rounded as a person, because that's exactly what I did. Ninth grade, I started off trying to, you know, not so much as fit in, but like, I'll say fit in, but as the years gone, like, you know, continued, like kind of like my friend group got smaller and they became more positive as the years went on.
Yeah, and it's like, at first, it was hard to find those people that, you know, wanted to lift you up, because everybody seemed the same at first. But then, as time went on, you realize those people that you would think is your best friend would be the ones to stab you in the back later. So it was hard growing up. But if you, like Robert said, you always find those select few that stay with you and want to keep you in the right direction. So, yeah.
I know that when I had hard times and things like that, my mentor was my school brother. I can talk to him about anything and everything for real. Because I know that like when at my house, my mom would be like, "Son, you gotta suck it up. It gets harder before it gets easier, and stuff like that." But I want kids to know that there's always someone that's out there that care for you, and even if you think that they don't or they don't understand you, you will always find that person that will. And they will love you and cherish you and help you to perspire in your life and to grow up and to be somebody that you always wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. Mara, you thinking anything about this? I know you're always thinking.
I am. There's probably like hundreds of things I wish somebody would have told me. Like hundreds. I wish somebody would have helped me. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If anything, what I would say is that life is hard for most people. Life is always going to be hard. Nothing is easy. Nothing's handed to you. And that's not an excuse. You know what I mean? Like, you don't wallow in that. And you've had a hard life. And maybe the person next to you had a harder one. I mean, you can't compare. Like, what you go through is different than what someone else goes through. You can't say, so I'll take that back. but, you know, things are hard and you're going to struggle, but you can't let that be what makes you think, like, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it, or blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not a thing. So, if anything, because things were hard for you, you're probably more equipped to do whatever someone else is doing that you wish you were doing. So just don't let that be an excuse.
That's good advice. You really, all of you, have a lot to offer. If you're just joining us, by the way, these are the voices you have just heard are students from Propel Braddock Hills High School. They're all seniors this year, and we're really happy to have them here. They're part of the Propel School Student Action Team. Are any of you, I suspect you are, thinking about what you're going to be doing come June or July after graduating? Does anybody have a good sense of what's next?
Well, I already applied to school and I got accepted at Pittsburgh Technical College, PTC.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What will you study there?
I'm going to be studying welding and graphic design.
Man.
I'm going to stay for 4 years.
There's a lot of jobs in both of those fields now.
Yeah.
What about you, Mara? I know a lot of kids at this stage are not sure at all what they want to do yet.
So the original plan was trade school for carpentering, for building, so I could start building in lower income areas. But I've been hesitant about that. I mean, I applied to the trade school and everything, but I've been like really hesitant about it because my bones are actually bad. So I was just thinking to myself, like, how long do I actually think I'm going to stay in that career? So I've actually been looking at colleges, and I've applied to Edinburgh, and I'm applying to IUP. And I can't remember exactly what it's called that I'm going for, but it's working with, like, justice, it's working in the community. I think there's something with, like, political science. Like, it's, like, a three-part to the name. And then I wish I could explain to you everything that it is, but it's basically everything that I want to do in the community without, like, ruining my body.
That sounds great, like, to get into areas of social justice or social work or criminal justice and to help people understand the systems that they face. And those are both great schools, too.
Yeah.
What are you thinking about, Cece?
I want to go to a performing arts school. I like to sing, dance, and act, so I think that's right up my alley.
I'm not surprised. You've kind of got this controlled voice that I noticed.
Yeah.
So have you applied anywhere? Or?
I applied to ADMA Performing Arts School. There's two campuses, Los Angeles and New York. They told me all I have to do now is just send in an audition tape and then I'll be good to go.
Excellent. And how about you, Robert?
So I'll be going up to Slippery Rock for education. I actually want to go into education because, well, there's obviously a lack of minority teachers. And I actually want to make a difference in a child's life. And I think with like having more minority teachers, like making a difference in that child's life and being a role model, actually it helps them, you know, be interested in colleges and things of that nature. So that's what I want to do. I want to, you know, make a difference in a child's life.
You guys are all so well grounded, and what I really admire about you is you're thinking about yourselves, but you're thinking about the future too, and you're thinking about each other. We're out of time. I knew this was going to happen quickly. Does anybody want to say something they didn't get a chance to say because I didn't provide the right framework to do that?
February 1st and 2nd, our school is performing Once on This Island. It's a musical. We would love for people to come out and see it.
I'll bet you're in it, are you?
All of us.
So Once on This Island, and it's the 1st and the 2nd of February?
Yeah.
New Hazlitt Theater.
North Side.
Well, my goodness, I don't have any excuse. It's right next door over here, right next to the Children's Museum. How can folks find out more? Is it, can they go to a website or?
I don't really know.
Well, we'll mention, we'll make sure we mention it again, but it's at the New Hazlitt Theater, the first and the second.
Mm-hmm. I think Friday, 7 o'clock, and you can also pay at the door.
Excellent.
You have to pay at the door regardless.
And any other words to pass along?
Be great, be safe, and I don't know.
Be positive.
And love one another.
And love yourself.
And have fun.
I'll add to thank you for being here for Pell Schools, the student action team at Braddock Hills High School.